sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Johnny. Yellow jackets,
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Evil Dead Rise. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. Then I'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we'll go back to TV Corner, reviewing Yellow Jackets. Episode 2. I'm sorry, Season 2, Episode 5, Two Truths and a Lie.
How about that thigh, right? Is that what you're doing? You're trying to rhyme, right? That's what it sounded like.
Oh, wait, did I say die or lie? I didn't enunciate it.
No, you said lie, and then I was trying to rhyme with lie, die. And I could only think of thigh instead of die or try or cry or buy or high or rye. I said thigh. There you go. Die. You're welcome, yeah. Everybody.
Interesting. I don't even know where to start. So much happened in this episode. Really, really big episode.
And it was so good, but I'm low-key can't wait to give my opinion on the movie that we're reviewing this week, because I am a big Evil Dead fan, and I need to tell you how it goes.
That's I think my we're dropping quality.
Uh-oh.
You're sounding like a robot. Sorry. There you go. Are you better? Talk.
Oh, one, two, three, four, five. I was also doing, what's his name? I was trying to imitate, what's his face? Because you got to go for the gold if you're trying to be a good person, but nobody really wants to be a good person when they're trying to go for the gold, because you can't get the gold unless you do that. Isn't that right? What's his name? Comedian?
Ozzy Osbourne.
In my opinion, kind of like very influenced by Larry Sanders, or what's his name? Because you got to do this and blah, blah, blah. Like the dude from Saturday Night Live. And then every time he got cast in a movie, they asked him to kind of be that same guy every time. Joe Dirt, he was the disc jockey.
I don't like Joe Dirt. It's like, why are you like this? I hate you. That's what I, literally with the look I got from you, John.
Guess what we're going to fucking do this weekend?
Everything paused.
I'm going to force you to watch Joe Dirt for the billionth time, Dennis Miller.
Oh, so fuck, dude. Oh, shit. Okay. I hear it now. Yeah.
Because you got to be a good person if you want to survive. Five in this world, but hey, here we are. So tell us all about your story and let's get going. Yellow jackets.
What'd you think of the episode? What was the most
It was great. Are you gonna tell me what was like the most memorable part?
Yeah.
There was so much that happened in this episode.
Yeah, I think it'd be a funner way to start. What's the thing that stuck out to you the most?
I don't know. Like they're like everything. Like it was the whole kind of reveal of Natalie potentially is a person that brought this fucking thing back, whatever it was.
Okay, so Natalie's been trying to bring down Lottie, and of course she stole the keys last episode, and she ends up she's like pretending she's a part of this whatever so that she can gain their trust or whatever, and then she finally gets into the office and steals, you know, files and stuff, and during one of their like meetings or something, she reveals that like, oh, she's ripping you guys off, you took all your money and your cell phones and blah blah blah, and they're like, yeah, we did that
voluntarily,
we voluntarily did all of that. Yeah, so they, Lottie and her, have convinces Natalie to go under like a hypnosis. Is that a fair?
Yeah, something
it's a sort
like
of
that.
Test
yeah.
to kind of bring out some truth.
I would call it hypnosis. Yeah.
So to bring up a memory or something.
Yeah.
Like a memory.
So it also occurs to me that Lottie, Thaisa did not revert back to these horrible or like these things that happened to them when they were kids until Natalie came back into the picture.
Did not revert back to till Natalie.
Like Thaisa was not doing the sleepwalking thing and having the dual personality really until Natalie came back into the picture.
Until
and
all
then
this,
Lottie
yeah.
didn't have a breakdown again, like mm-hmm. having these until Natalie came back into the
picture. That's interesting. Yeah, the whole sleepwalking thing kicked back up again recently. So clear because clearly they had like Ty had already like I don't know suppressed it, dealt with it. I don't know, did something with it. And
because they were already talking to, or like she was already talking to Shauna, and it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. But when Natalie came back and when they first met after that, I think was the first time she had that episode where she came to and she was like eating dirt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what the hell?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And Natalie, she... They put her under and she they talk about the last time they spent with Travis, adult Travis. And adult Travis, they of course go on like on a coke binge. She overdoses and she has visions while overdosed, right? That
yes,
they're in the plane, but instead of surviving, they are burned. And then she sees the Antler Queen, which is what everyone calls her online. And she kind of takes him out of the plane and she says that what I think is probably the truest thing that's really going on, but simplified, which actually made more sense, is that they brought back whatever happened in the woods, they brought back with them, which actually makes perfect sense. That's like kind of your classic kind of like horror slasher trope, right? Like you, whatever evil thing is out there, they brought back with them, which is why Ty is having the episodes again, and why what's her face, all of these bad things are happening to the girls that survived.
Correct. I think there was a moment where she mentioned she was questioning something she had said to Travis about, like, you were right.
Yeah, that's the last thing Travis wrote down, right? Or
yes,
told Lottie?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I think wrote down, maybe. Yeah.
Wrote down, right. And that's been kind of the catalyst in season one for Natalie to kind of find out the truth about the death about Travis, what he meant by what he said. And I think that thing has been haunting them. And Travis tried to do that ritual to try to reach a certain place, like life, death, you know, flatliner situation.
Which that's 100% what I was thinking about too when I was seeing that.
But he unfortunately died. But I think this brings up a good question.
Just to be clear, not the Diego Luna remake, which I never saw, with like Kristen Stewart and somebody else.
No, we're talking
about the Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. Joe Schumacher directed Flatliners. Everybody watch
which
it.
Which had a big impact on me as a kid. Haven't seen it since. Here it's actually terrible, but you know.
It's not terrible. It doesn't have a good third act. I think it has a bad ending. But it's good, like, two acts.
Wait, you're telling me Joel Schumacher doesn't have a good third act in a movie?
Weird. Sorry. So that brings up... So I guess that's what's going on, right? And it seems like it's going to culminate with them probably returning to the woods, right? I think this is where this is all going. The thing I was going to say is... So, a theory I had, not the one I texted you about, which we'll get to in a minute. But another theory I had is, my guess is, what if they all died on the plane? They all technically burned up, but were saved by whatever this thing is. Which is why they're being haunted. I don't know if that's...
I feel like the only person, in my opinion, that would truly apply to would be Van. Because Van was supposed to have burnt up. Remember, because Jackie was right. Like...
Fucker. Took off. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And then Van was like, how about you die first, you frozen ice queen bitch? And then guess what happens? No, I'm just kidding. That did not happen.
Yeah. So, speaking of Van, we finally got our first episode with Van. Long-awaited episode with
Apparently, she's been going through it, right? That's what it seems like. She has not had an easy time this entire time.
Yeah. Seems that way. They do hint. So, basically, she is in Seattle-ish?
Question mark?
Washington? Is that right? Sure.
I don't know. I was kind of not paying attention.
She's... She's a owns a video store, which is cool.
A kitschy video store. Yes. It's very like something you see here in LA, where people flock to this idea of.
But I think it specializes
Jurassic technology.
Yeah.
As 90s is now, so she can't let go of the 90s. Is what's going on. She can't let go of the past. Right. Is what I'm gathering.
Right. Right. Yeah. She lives. Apparently, she was like big into pop culture, so she's like. Yeah. I think she had like a high fidelity line or something, right? She threw it like that out there.
John Cusack. Yeah.
John Cusack. I mean, that movie came out in 2000. But
Jack Black.
Yep. Yeah. So, Van's gay. I don't know if you knew that, John. But
oh, what?
It's still not hitched.
Whoa.
Taking medication. Wow. Very single. Very, very available for Thaisa.
Wait, so, I mean, Thais is there. Does that make Thaisa gay?
Yeah, Thais is gay.
What? Whoa. I know. That, like, there's moments in the show now where, like, oh, a big reveal. I'm like, is it?
This yeah.
This was fucking flat yeah. out explained first season.
Yeah.
I was never confused about this.
Yeah,
I do like the sort of moments where also four non-blondes. Always going to be a sucker yeah. whenever that comes out in movies.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid's going like, so this box has like a movie in it? I'm like, no, kids aren't that stupid, dude. Like, but funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Clearly 40-plus-year-olds wrote these scripts.
Yeah. <it's>,
you know?
These stupid kids.
Yeah. Well, oh, these kids don't know what VHS tapes are. I'm like, I'm sure they do. They can Google it.
They can probably have. Yeah. Even if they did, they'll know it within seconds. You know?
There are like billions of movies that we watch today that somehow will reference like a VHS tape or a CD or something. They know what it is.
Yeah, they're just not exposed to the technology and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this ended with they're back. They try to little awkward the meeting. They try to dance around what they're really there for. They have a nice moment at the end where it insinuates maybe. Like they were together after something. Like maybe they were engaged or something.
Too. Yeah.
Maybe they married out there. We don't know.
Yeah. It kind of brings me to the next thing that stood out to me was the whole. Aside from what happens at the very end, but Shauna. Kind of really wigging out about Lottie being excessively weird. About the child now and like trying to like whisper to the child stuff and blah 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 and I'm like
mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Shauna freaking out about like yeah you usually do that when you want the child to know the mother's voice and whatever. I don't know. Yeah,
I kind of feel like yeah that's played for. I think she's also super annoyed because she doesn't have any friends and Ty has been like the closest friend she's had there at the cabin since Jackie died.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, that's also because Misty has a best friend there.
Yeah. Mm.
That she kills. But yeah, so...
the second person she's killed, your favorite character.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, like I think that's what she's mostly probably upset about. And plus she goes into labor. And it sounds like based on the Danzig song Mother, she's gonna have baby.
Which I didn't know how to feel about the way that the ending was cut for this, which was very different from the other ones, was you got the mother, and then it cuts. Yeah. Like, that's what he goes. Yeah. That's all you got. Like, okay.
So what's the next episode by? I don't know what's going to happen. So, I think that's what she was mad about, because Ty is... because she knows, like, Van is, like, a total Lottie believer, so she is going... with a going with her to the I guess like little spiritual things that Lottie's putting together.
Because
she did say happy life, happy wife, right? And that's why I was thinking, like, maybe they were like got engaged or were supposed to get married or something, and then like Ty left her or something. Maybe they were at some kind of commitment together, and then like besides what they're like kind of dating right now, but it's like maybe there was more to it. Because they have that connection with each other, because how much Van is taking care of her with Ty's, I don't know, possession or something? Does that make sense? But yeah.
Oh, wait. And going back to the mystery thing, which, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there too. It didn't occur to me till right now that the reason she... So there's a moment where they're driving to... the purple people's place that which she keeps calling him, she almost like tries to leave the car, she tries to leave the vehicle because she has that memory of when she was walking with her new bestie
Crystal,
and then whose real name is Kristen,
yeah.
But she didn't want to change it because they gave her the nickname Crystal Pistol, and she never had a cool nickname like that. How they're like just telling each other like secrets or whatever. Which makes me think like they barely started really talking to each other. But she's like, you know, sometimes when I'm bringing the poo out, I just kind of fling it here instead of dumping it over the cliff. Which is funny because when the ice thaws out, it's still going to be there. Which is really funny to me. How they like dump it, that whole thing, that whole like potty humor scene.
Yeah.
Where they're dumping the poo off the cliff and she goes like and like does the flush noise or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Misty, sorry, divulges like, you know, I did this just because people started to like me and I didn't know that people liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, you're the reason we're still here? Is that why you're telling me? And then she's like, no, and I think she was just being defensive and trying to be like, this was her best decision making skills here. Where she's kind of confronting Kristen or Crystal Pistol and going like, yeah, and if you say anything, I'll fucking kill you. And it wasn't like she pushed her off the cliff. She just like fucking fell off the cliff. It wasn't really.
That's true. Good point.
I can't say it wasn't her fault. It was kind of her fault. She could have like pushed her in a different direction, but that was just like the way the things played out.
So this is my reptilian brain theory, and it's gonna be proven true or false. Like I believe it probably like real soon. I think Crystal and the two other girls who don't have names are imaginary. Because have you noticed like that Misty and Crystal are kind of like always together? Meaning like they've kind of like, and how these, you have to imagine also these characters are so far gone. They're so hungry, so like ravaged or whatever for months and months and months that if they just saw Misty like mumbling to herself in the corner, they wouldn't even think twice about it, right? Because nobody else has interacted with these characters. Right? Except for this episode. This is where like my theory kind of falls apart. Because Mari like gave the deck of cards, and clearly Mari's like being a bitch and like making them do the worst chore, which is clean the poop bucket, right? And she does talk to Crystal. But you easily could have like interpreted as
nope. But then they all like they're all aware that Crystal died at the end. Because Misty comes in running in, like, oh my god, she fell off.
Well, no, she said like, oh, she's missing, or no, she said she fell off. I don't know if she said she fell off. I think she said like I lost her or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're gonna find her body, but I feel like they didn't make a big enough deal about it.
Like, they immediately started talking about Shauna and Ty
yeah,
being missing.
Yeah, they like kind of like were like maybe they've Maybe they've already accepted Mystique, like, has this imaginary friend, Crystal. Like, very quickly, this theory could fall apart next episode, right? But that was, like, my theory as to why these characters feel so, like sandwiched in with the rest of the show. Because they're imaginary. They're not real. That was, like...
So, that with all that said, though, that's where I decided that the reason Misty wanted to let Elijah Wood go was because she was afraid she was going to kill him too at some point.
True.
Which makes me think that Elijah Wood's maybe imaginary also.
I think Elijah Wood... Here's my other theory is that I think Elijah Wood is one of the cult people.
I have that feeling too.
He's a little too weird, right? And he's kind of like suckering him into this. He could be proven wrong, but that was kind of like my other thought. It was... He seems to out of like left field. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it feels really too like there's so much deception going on in the show already. Like every single scenario has some sort of deception or deceit going on.
Right. And his is gonna be something. He obviously has like something he's not telling her. He's not like this perfect guy. I mean, he could, right? He could be like the one they is the love interest, but he's clearly hiding something, and I'm assuming right now that he's part of this group.
Because what if he's actually what's his name, Travis's younger brother?
I felt like they would have Javi or whatever. I felt like they would have I feel like they would have recognized him. It's interesting they never talk about Javi. So he showed up, is not talking, and also he said that he was in the woods with his friend, which is clearly, I think, the one that is possessing Ty. Is that right?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. I don't know about that whole thing yet, because I thought this, like, whatever presence was possessing Ty, but it clearly is in Natalie, I guess. Unless Lottie is just seeing things again. Like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. But he has a friend, so clearly there's a spirit or something, which is not too far-fetched to believe in the show.
Does that suggest, though, that Natalie is the Antler Queen?
I don't know. I think it's... Well, because they had that shot where after they do the whatever thing with Natalie, she... puts her head down and it's a teenage Natalie, and then Lottie like turns her head and the shadow is a of the antlers. So she's the Antler Queen.
Like Lottie's shadow, or do you think Natalie's shadow?
Well, Lottie was turning her head and the head was turning as well, but it had the antlers. So.
Oh, okay. I think it's
she's the Antler Queen. And I'm assuming they're all gonna like convene there.
I don't know why, like, obviously it's gonna be her, but I just like don't want it to be her so it's not obvious.
Well, like, I feel like it is totally obvious. Yeah, do you want to like maybe like a switch, like a,
yeah, that like, oh, it was actually this person all along, and you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
what if Javi's a fucking Antler Queen? You know what I mean, like random, like nobody ever expects it, and then he's been gone, he can't talk.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Javi. I feel like he's... I don't know. They don't... I feel like this is the core group, the girls that we've talked about. So, and they don't even talk about... Like, Natalie hasn't even talked about Javi. So clearly, I don't think Javi makes it out. I think he's either in the woods or dead. I mean, clearly the guy can survive in the woods. So... Maybe.
Yeah, I'm wondering. And I'm wondering if we're going to get like a whole Lost thing again. Where like the next seasons are about like a different group of people survive that have no idea that the other people are alive. But then that wouldn't make sense because Thais is all over the news.
Well, the other kind of theory I had was that when Jackie died, she saw... Oh, but there were all the people that were in the plane crash. She saw her friends in the plane crash. And then there was just that one guy, right, that... talk to her.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's true. I don't know.
And I know there's a lot more to unpack, but this was a good, this is your Yellow Jackets podcast.
I know, yeah. We didn't even mention that Shauna and Randy faked sleeping together and Kevin and
the daughter. And
I hate this storyline. I'm over this.
I was going to say, I actually really enjoyed that part of it.
I mean, it's this episode. Fine. It's funny. Like, it's good, but it's like not anything I'm interested in anymore. Like, Shauna's storyline just so like far-fetched and so like not believable anymore that I'm less invested in. I mean, they've been some good moments, like the Papa Roach scene with Jeff, and then like Shauna, was it last week with her holding that guy up?
Oh my god, no, actually van. My favorite part, the part that made me laugh really hard in this episode, which was like the most memorable part for me obviously, was so daughter, which I keep forgetting her name, but she is finally becomes
Callie.
Aware.
Yep. Huh? Callie, sorry.
Yeah. Callie. Callie becomes aware that the dude's a cop and lies to him saying like, "Oh, I mean, I figured out who my mom's sleeping with. Can you believe it? It's my dad's best friend, Randy."
Yeah.
How fucked up is that, right? And then how she explains that to her parents and they're both like, "Oh, why would you do that? Like, what the fuck?" And she's like, "Well, it's better than saying it was this dude that you murdered, right?" And they both kind of look at each other like, "Yeah, no, that's good, actually." It made me laugh really hard. Like, yeah, you know what? You got a point. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Randy puts fucking Go-Gurt in the fucking condom is what I'm getting.
No, he puts like the lotion. He puts
the lotion.
That, like, the complimentary hand lotion, I guess, you get in, like, hotels because he couldn't perform. So in the condom, and I mean, that storyline's whatever. I mean, that had some nice, it's a nice moments, but like I mean they did find a way to get like Callie to be on her mother's side, which is cool. Like, the now they're all kind of working together, and at the end of this episode one the season, they were very much seemed like Callie was totally gonna turn in her mother because of their past relationship, but it seems like they've completely like found a way out of that, at least for now, to have them on the same side. And
yeah,
you know, it seems like that's, that whole thing is just not working.
Yeah, it's getting, I mean, I'm also gonna say the whole Travis killing himself thing is getting a little old for me too, but
I feel like it's over now, thankfully. I think we're done. I think we're done with that. Do you feel like, yeah? All right, yeah, we've had complaints by our senior social media director that this has become the Yellow Jackets podcast, so we can definitely move on to our main review now.
Okay, just one more thing about it. I'm just kidding. Let's go.
Yeah,
get to the main review.
I remember we used to be like a horror movie podcast. Now we're just just where to do the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, but Lottie and Natalie, and also Jackie, to be honest, and then Shauna.
It's just like, it's so good. There's so much to talk about. There's just not enough time. But if we're there for today, we'll end it there. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny,
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
All right, for. What's this Irish guy? So now we're keeping in with our Irish people directing. Leigh Cronin's Evil Dead Rise, right? Which we all know I fucking hated the last one, so let's see.
Yep.
For Evil Dead Rise, coming in at number 3. Regular day somewhere, Los Angeles. Obviously LA, right? Obviously.
Clearly.
It wasn't, I mean... If it had been for going like, "I came here straight from LAX," I'm like, sure you did.
Sure you did.
This is clearly California. Clearly. Coming in at number 2, soon to be mother, warning.
Yeah. Don't be a mother, guys. If you got questions.
And then coming in at number 1 for the follow up to Fed All versus Crap. For Evil Dead Rise, coming in at number 1. Now that's how you fucking pass the torch. I loved it. It's more than 5 words. I don't care. Okay. I actually really did love this movie.
Oh, you really love this movie? Okay.
Yeah, I really ended up enjoying the shit out of it. I mean, it was a lot of fan service, mm-hmm. but I really loved it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So you didn't love it too much. You were also a very sleepy guy, right?
I was very sleepy, yes. And I actually partook in eating a movie theater hot dog, and I was very tired. So, but I was very tired.
Which is the equivalent to two edibles.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I'll say this. I did like it. I didn't particularly like the story. When it's working, I feel like I did like the sort of call outs to the film series as a whole.
The original trilogy, right?
The original trilogy.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Didn't care for this story. Liked the filmmaking. The filmmaking was good. I've never seen
the acting was phenomenal too. Yeah.
I thought like
every actor really went for it.
I was less impressed, I'll be honest. I wasn't as sold on some of the performances. Especially kids.
Like which one?
Kids are not great actors. Kids are not great actors. Yeah, and I think
they did good. Yeah. I don't know. I thought they did good in the whole I'm gonna be appreciative of the progressive nature of the stylistic choices they had. And then the one musical song we get is a fucking banger. So there we go.
Yeah.
LCD Sound System's Dance Yourself Clean.
Yeah.
It's the only song we really get.
Yeah, I just wasn't crazy about, I wasn't, and it could be not the actor's fault, but it could be just, scripts. The scripts didn't really suck me in personally. The dynamic of the family never really, really they spent some time with them, we kind of get to know them a little bit, but it never really felt real or substantial. And I'm sorry, but this whole plus where they lived also looked like a set. Does that make sense? It didn't look real.
Just being
nitpicky,
yeah, that's why I was poking fun at, it's clearly not L.A., and then I looked it up. They shot in New Zealand.
Right.
Obviously, right? But, I thought by that account, what you're saying, yeah, totally, I respect that. But I'm, from a production design standpoint, I thought it looked great. I was wow, they put a lot of work into this.
Yeah,
I'm going to sell you on this movie right now.
Okay, sell me.
According to the director...
Okay.
The cat survives this movie. We just don't see
it. Oh, okay. It's wild. 10 out of 10. I'm convinced. Yeah, I think it's just... the story elements didn't really work, but I liked kind of everything else. I liked the movie itself. Does that make sense? It's a well-made movie. Is that...
Yeah.
Qualify for it?
So what about the story didn't you like? It's also kind of a far-fetched if people don't understand that... It is a thing. We do have apartment complexes here that used to be old bank vaults. I mean, we got a bookstore, record store that it didn't even get rid of the bank vault part called The Last Bookstore.
Right.
So that's a little bit, I'm sure that's hard for people to really grasp. That's far-fetched. Why would they build an apartment complex over a bank vault? Because it does happen. But that's something you only know if you live here.
I didn't feel like the time we spent with them, I didn't connect to any of them. So when the shit, the S hits the F, I wasn't invested in what was happening going on in the story. That was my biggest thing. But from the director standpoint, from production standpoint, from all the little set pieces that happened in the movie, I liked a lot of it. That was really good.
Okay. I will say the reason I think I enjoyed that part of it was, I think something horror movies are suffering from now that are just, the whole point of the movie is, it's supposed to be a fun, scare, sort of gore fest. They spend too much time in the relationships where I'm I don't really care, honestly. The whole point of this movie is, they're going to die, and then they're going to try to escape. The original Evil Dead movie, you don't spend too much time with their relationships. You just gather, okay, his sister... his girlfriend, his best friend and his girlfriend, but then pretty much immediately they all start dying. Like, you don't get to know him at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was kind of a nod to that too. There's like a lot of nods, like I don't know what it was. I'm gonna call it a wood chipper, but that's not right. That thing in the parking
structure.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was doing there. Yeah, but it yeah.
Anyway, yeah, whatever that was called the Fonda, which I'm assuming was for Bridget Fonda, because she was in the third in Army of Darkness. She comes out in the cold open, taking over for his original girlfriend quickly. I don't know if you remember that, but yeah, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was a lot of fun. Only movie not to have the Oldsmobile, by the way.
Yeah. First time, but there was a scene for them to add it, but they didn't. So,
yeah,
missed opportunity.
But I don't know if that was intentional. I mean, we still got Bruce Campbell, but as a voice cameo.
Yeah, yeah, I did read that, and I no Ash character. Nobody was named Ash.
No Ash character.
No. Yeah. I just didn't
Chainsaw
like.
Chainsaw was yellow, not red.
I just didn't. I guess like to kind of get like dig. A little bit closer to the story, it's kind of like, okay, we meet this girl, she finds out she's pregnant, and then she goes and meets her sister, the sister, a strange sister, right? They're not very like close per se, right?
Yeah,
because she's the other sister is kind of like always on the road and stuff like that.
She's a guitar technician, right?
Yeah. And so, and she has like these three kids, but they're all kind of, I don't know, three kids. I don't know what to really say about them.
So they're all like in their own little world, but yeah. It's mostly because clearly she's been dealing with like losing her husband or whatever, and nobody's been helping her for like what seems to be about 6 months or something.
Right.
And trying to figure out how to get out of there.
Yeah. And it's just, to me, there was just like nothing there. They try to add like, oh, she was a tattoo artist and this one wants to be a DJ and this one's short-haired. I don't know what else to say about that. I didn't catch what anything else about her that was interesting other than she was talking about going to a rally. But don't you feel like this movie is set in LA, right? It's supposed to be set in LA, right? But like, yeah. Do you feel like they try to lean into the like stereotypes of LA people with these caricatures of like traits of these characters?
Yes, too much. I agree, but I also have friends, and then specifically a friend who is named L, who does have like friends or kids like this, like, and other friends that are mothers like that here in LA. I mean,
right?
And their kids all do kind of start to go towards things like that, and I understand what you're saying, even with the youngest kid being kind of weird, and like she makes Stephanie, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be a nod to the original Kandarian staff, right? The thing, the dagger with the head on top of it.
Right.
So like yes and no, maybe a little too on the nose, but maybe we only see that, and maybe other people will see it more like, why would people be this weird instead? Which is also not good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But it is a real thing. Like, families really are like this here.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say they weren't believable. I'm trying to, like, think, like, they wasn't...
I feel like you wanted more backstory. You wanted to connect to these characters a little bit more.
Yeah, I just felt like these characters were unrelatable for me, if that makes sense. They weren't relatable to me, and they felt very caricature, a lot of them. So I kind of figured like, oh, this, like you said, like the what's her name, the little doll is like, oh, I know what's gonna happen with that, right? That's gonna Stephanie.
Instead of Stephanie, it was Stephanie.
Stephanie, yeah. And I kind of figured what was gonna happen with that eventually.
Yeah,
so.
No, I mean it's like obviously set up with like the scissors underneath the
table. Yeah, like exactly.
The tattoo machine gun. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were trying to hide any of that either. I don't think they were trying to be like, ooh, a little like Chekhov's gun. It was more of like, clearly these things are going to get used later, so you wait for them to happen.
Yeah.
Is what I gathered.
Right, yeah. And I kind of feel like the few moments it tried to add humor to this movie, I felt like there were misses for me. I didn't really like...
Oh, I thought they were funny. I mean, because most of the time when they were like humorous moments, it was nods to the old movies.
Yeah.
So it was very much like a clap moment for me. So I was excited about it.
So yeah, yeah. Clap nostalgia. You're drinking, yeah. Having the nostalgia berries or whatever.
Yeah. Which I mean, I think is fair because it's supposed to be that movie. I'm assuming the next movie is supposed to be more of like, okay, now we move on from this.
So what I've heard is that they're gonna do that. They're not gonna be like tied together. So for the from what I understand, the three movies, they're gonna do like three more, but they're not gonna be tied together. They're gonna be standalone movies. So,
oh, that's cool.
So, like they had mentioned in the and when they were in some of the recordings, I did like how they did the tape recordings. This time it's on records, and the guy is a DJ, yeah. So he plays in the thing. Like, it was really effective, like the way it was tied and connected.
I'm sure you read also, the director mentioned, so that is Bruce Campbell's voice yelling in the background. Which potentially could be Ash Williams because he does have, like, he keeps going back in time accidentally.
Right. Which I thought that would be a fun sequel, but I did hear they're going to try to do, like, three standalone ones because they said three books are somewhere out in this world. This is just one of them.
Oh. Yeah, because it did not, yeah, it was different. I was wondering about that.
So that's kind of, like, loosely what I think they're going to try to do is have... For now, I kind of feel it would be fun to maybe bring some of these characters back if they continue making them. Whoever survived.
For me, it's this the person that survives is clearly like the next Ash Williams.
Okay, yeah.
You know, that's what I meant by passing the torch, because it felt very much like, okay, now we got our new hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, reluctant hero.
I mean, you could say the same for the last Evil Dead movie. We had a new Ash, which he didn't like. But, I mean, that was kind of like the intention, right? That make her the new Ash type character?
It didn't feel the same. It felt very much like it. You could have named that movie anything else, and I would have been like, oh, okay. Like, just because they had a book, there's several other movies that have a Necronomicon, not just Evil Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this one felt like an Evil Dead movie to me. Like, it was stylistically, they tried really hard to do what Raimi did and mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know. But the that other one, aside from me, like, really fucking hating it, like, it felt like a very, like, that era of 2000s remake movie where it's like, this feels nothing like the old movie.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and let me try to just, like, add to it. Like, the last Evil Dead movie called Evil Dead was kind of just picking up loose points of what the other movies were,
yeah.
While this one is sort of a fun, like you said, like a fun, like, yay, clap moments, like homage to the whole series, like, okay, I get that, but it's like a standalone story on its own kind of deal. Okay,
it's also kind of weird, like, and yeah, the previous movie, like you said, like, just kind of picked points of like, oh, let's do that, and then I guess, like, the director tried really hard to be like, now it's my own version of this, which I don't know, like, how he missed that point. He's never done that before, right? He hasn't done that since, right? Like, he hasn't screwed up another beloved series by making his own version of it, right?
I don't know. We'll see.
Especially not from where we're from, right? Like, we wouldn't do anything to a Texas movie, right? We wouldn't ruin a beloved Texas
movie. Well, I mean, he didn't direct it. He just produced it, to be fair. The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Which we weren't fans of, but people still enjoyed. Horror fans still enjoyed that one.
You know,
well,
it doesn't mean they're right. So
the kids are wrong. We're right. Yeah, I think those were the finer elements. Some nice tension building moments, nice gory moments. I just wanted to quickly add that it was funny because we were finished watching the movie, and this whole time, my fiance, she doesn't like watching horror movies, or, you know, in general, right? So,
yeah,
I told her, like, well, I was trying to, like, ease her into it, like, it's gonna be bloody, gory, scary, so just, like, kind of just roll with it, you know, try to tell her what the movie, what to expect from it. So we get out of the movie, we finish watching it, and so we're walking out, and the first thing we see is a kid, like a tiny little kid. He's standing like in the by the glass door with no shirt on. He's just like this with his hands up on it. We're like, what the? It's like, how is there like this kid with no shirt running around in this mall? It's just so funny, dude. Just like, it's like, that's fucking terrifying. And she also had like a little bit of like a nightmare too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's part of what she's not typically what she watched, maybe seeped into her unconscious, you know? So
I mean, there's like a big chunk of this movie is a lot of moments where you're like, oh my god, this is fucked up.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Definitely moments you don't want to be a part of. You're like, ugh. I don't know. And also Alyssa Sutherland's performance, like
she was really
like,
good.
Pretty fucking killer. Like yeah. Like a lot of those moments, like, oh my god, she's scary as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought she was really good too. Okay. Do you want to go into last thoughts before we go to spoilers?
I enjoyed the cold open.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the cold, but I love the cold open. Amazing. Amazing cold open.
It was so much fun. It felt like a nod to like Creepshow, maybe? I don't know. But
yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, just because of the so a person gets scalped, right? That seems to be a nod to Creepshow 2. The water seems to be a thing from Peepshow 2. Mm-hmm. And then we get an introduction to a drone, which is a lot of fun.
Probably one of the most clever like title reveals I've seen.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was cool. Really cool. Yeah.
Really kind of set the...
That was a clappable moment too, yeah.
Set the tone. Really cool. Yeah, I agree. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, make really, really strong cold open. All right, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, which I think I mentioned... Did I mention it while we were recording or only beforehand? Where, like, I had a hard time getting to a movie theater and actually, like, walked in basically 30 minutes late. But luckily, AMC loves their previews.
They so love their previews.
Before the movie started still.
The only I had thought about that because like I said, like I had just come out of work and we're kind of like rushing out to go watch it, and I was like, but there's like 30 minutes of previews, which is like too long. That's just like too many previews. And I was like, we can literally walk in 30 minutes after the showtime and like, you know, we'll be fine. Only problem is if we walk in that late, there's an off chance somebody might be sitting in your seat. So you got to do that awkward, get out of my seat.
So, get out of my seat.
So, which is weird. But it kind of worked out because actually we went early enough, got a good parking spot, and then didn't have to worry about parking. So, yeah. Oh, so what was your favorite gory moment? Because I like winced and turned away from the screen when they got the cheese grater. That fucked up me up, dude.
Oh, that ended up not being that bad. Like if you actually did see it, it was like I was expecting something worse and I was like, oh, okay. God, there's so many moments. Like, so only two people survived this, right?
Right.
We're in spoilers now, right? So it's our hero character, Beth. What's her name?
I think it's Beth, right?
Beth. And then introduction to Nell Fisher, who plays Cassie.
Right. The youngest of the daughters. There's like two daughters and a son.
And she was fun. Yeah. They're the only two to survive it. So these kids fucking go through it. And even the son is trying his hardest to like make up for, I guess, fucking up. So what? There's an earthquake. There's a bank vault reveal. He's able to get in there and look at some stuff. And I think like the evil actually was purposely like leading him towards the book and the vinyl and all that.
Little earthquake. Yeah.
And how he plays the vinyl. Cause like, honestly, like why not? Right. But then the one part where I was like, I understand why they wrote this in. Cause why wouldn't you write it in? But it was also like, it was not this kid's fault. He was trying to do something for his mom. Like, it wasn't like He was like, ooh, look at this creepy thing. He just saw something that looked old, and he was like, we could fucking sell this. Like, let's see what's in it.
Right.
You know, it was like one of the few times where I didn't feel like, yeah, no, fuck this kid. He fucked up. It was like, no, he didn't do it intentionally. It was like, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It did feel like, in retrospect, it didn't bother me when I watched it, but thinking about it, because watching it, it's kind of like, okay, well, this fucking Necronomicon has to come out, and they got to get the recordings, yeah. They got to do, like, this all has to be done, and I thought it was pretty clever the way they did it, but to be honest, I don't think I understand why he really did it. Yeah, he does say, like, oh, we can maybe sell them for our mother, and then the daughter, the elder daughter is like, you know, what does she say? Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure mom would want money, you know, from this or something like that, something to that effect.
The son was like, we can sell this and we can like help mom and like we can find a place or blah blah blah, and him playing the records, well, in my head it's just like, well, there's nothing else to do, they're stuck there, and you can't sell things if you don't know what they are, you know.
Yeah, I kind of feel, in retrospect, I kind of feel like I thought that moment was like, that reasoning was more of an excuse, and it was kind of like for his own selfish needs because he thought it was cool. That's kind of how I just originally saw it, but in retrospect, talking about it now, I feel like it's a little contrived. No, don't you think? Yeah. That he's taking the stuff after an earthquake, like,
well, I mean, I think he saw,
but he was led there. That's also you can,
yeah, he was led there, but he also saw a bank vault. I mean, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see a bank vault? You're like, there's maybe fucking money in there. There's something valuable in there. We need this. So, might as well do this now before we call the cops and then they investigate it before we can grab anything.
So maybe there should have been a moment where he was maybe concerned for his mother about her current situation. But there really wasn't. You know what I mean?
Like, because it was fast, and I guess they should have written that in. But also, it's been months of this already. Like, we're coming into this with Beth, right?
Right.
Who is, like, well behind what's going on, like, behind everything that's gone on with them. Like, even, like, she has no idea that the husband left, even though that was months ago. And all the kids are kind of like, ah, oh, shit.
Right.
Do we even talk about this? I don't know what to do. Like, they know not to talk about it. So, I think, yeah, they could have written that a little bit better, for sure.
Like, I feel like they, that's where I kind of feel like the script fails the movie. It's like they could have gotten, because it seems the kids are behaving normally. It seems like they're going through like a boring day, boring night with their parents, right? That's kind of like the vibe. He's DJing, she's playing or whatever, and she's, you know, getting ready for the next day. And, you know, they kind of seem like they're in their mode, like their routine. And it isn't till, you know, Beth shows up and they seem pretty normal. It seems like nothing's affecting them. And when they bring up the dad leaving them, the kids kind of have a reaction, but it doesn't seem like it affects them enough to where they're like, oh, they go about acting normally. Like, you see what I'm trying to say? Like, the kids could have been more affected by it, I guess.
Again, it seems like there's like a 6-month gap between all that happening or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
There's plenty of time for like the kids to be like, not over it, but like enough to know like, well, mom doesn't like to fucking hear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just move on with life as best as we can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's true too. Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is like, maybe the breakup should have happened. Like, maybe it should have been a sooner amount of time, not so long before. 'Cause now it just seems kind of weird. But I think they're also trying to point out that Beth is so disconnected. Like, I think it's like a weird story to try to like really push along in the first 20 minutes as quickly as you can.
Right. I just feel like the weight of their parent leaving could have been more evident than what was shown, than what we got. That's like my biggest thing. Not really, like, if it was, like, the timetable doesn't matter, but, like, I kind of feel like, had the characters been weighted with that more, I could have maybe a little, I don't know. It could have been a little bit better. I don't know. I don't really have a clear thought on it, but
yeah. And I think what you wanted was that breakup to have happened sooner, because 6 months is an extension and a like a big chunk of time.
Yeah.
In my opinion, right, especially right. A lot of time for like the mom to be yelling at the kids, you know, a lot of aggression, a lot of yelling back and forth, maybe, you know, like angry banging, angry breaking shit. But after like 3 months, like that shit, you get so exhausted from doing all that. You just try to move on and they got like bigger things to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're out of money. They got to move. They've stayed there forever. Yeah. There's a lot of other shit going on. So yeah, that makes sense.
The little girl made a Stephanie, you know, like clearly she's not dealing with it well.
Yeah.
The son is like disconnected. Well, I'm just going to dive into music. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Also that
the daughter is not accepting a neighbor kid's advances.
I was just about to bring up, like, there was some fun neighbor kids. They were like all three brothers, I think, right? And then the older man with the cat. I would have actually liked to have seen a little bit more from them. Like, they seem like interesting characters on the floor. I would have, because they kind of like die pretty quickly, and then they become like possessed or deadites or whatever. You know what I mean?
That fucking coin that the kid picks up also and puts in his pocket. Maybe it's a nod to something that I'm missing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, okay, when's that coming into play?
Yeah.
I thought it's just in his pocket.
See, I thought more was going to happen there with them, but they kind of just, you know, once the shit hits the fan, like they're like immediately kind of picked off, and they kind of become part of the ones, you know, the whatever.
The deadites.
Deadites, yeah. Okay. Cool. Any other thoughts? What was your favorite moment? What was your favorite moment in this, like, gore wise?
Oh, you're talking about the gore wise stuff.
Yeah, because
like the eating of the glass was pretty fucking.
Oh
gross.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Yeah,
and then when it starts to poke out her neck, I was like, that's disgusting.
It's totally cool.
Yeah, I mean, you only see a bunch of the stuff through the people, which I thought was pretty fun. Where like the L is like ripping off the kid's arms, and I think my favorite moment was that one of the nods to Evil Dead 2, which is my favorite of the series, where she bites off that dude's eyeball and spits it into the other kid's mouth, and he chokes to death on it, was probably my favorite.
Yeah. There should have been...
Because there's a lot of good moments, like her cooking the eggs, but just cracking the eggs in there after she's possessed. I was like, that's fucking...
That's terrifying.
So scary. Yeah,
it's fucking terrifying. When they're playing eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and then like she wants to eat the littlest child first. So, that was fucked up. There's some nice moments in here, and I love that every time she like did all these really cool things where close up like on hands, and then like the hands would come out of like the tub, for instance, and they would make like a screeching noise, like crunching, squealing noise. I was like, oh, that's so effective. Like, this is like they did that a couple times, and it was really well done.
Her choices were fucking amazing. Like they were so natural. Like so, like every time, a lot of the stuff through the people I thought was fucking fantastic acting. Yeah, she was amazing. I thought she was really, really good. Also, a little nod. I didn't catch this on the pizza boxes, but the pizza place was called Henrietta's, which I thought was fun.
I did notice that. That was a nod to the fucking second one, right?
Henrietta's the woman that was buried in the basement, played by Ted Raimi.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did. Like, I was like, that is a little. The camera lingered a little too long on that pizza box for you to look at it. It's clearly something fun, like a nod to it, which is that was cool. Anything else? I guess you want to say?
No, do we see how it ends? Where they, I mean, the only way they were going to get out of this. Oh, the Shining nod was a lot of fun. They decided to go down the elevator because This movie's version of the bridge being curled up was the stairs were completely gone, mm-hmm. and they could never get through that one apartment that has a fire escape.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, that was fucking great, because there are all these like dead bodies that just start to come up, and then the what like the main L is there crying, pretending that she's like back to being regular L, and they're like, no, it's not you. And then the kids come out crying because they shot off her arm and legs.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretend to be crying, but they come up and start laughing, and then they all morph into like one big like weird
yeah.
like ball of arms and shit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Before they get eaten into the wood chip or whatever that was.
Sure,
wood chipper. Like a metal grinding thingy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say wood chipper, but it's so out of place.
No, it's not a wood chipper.
I don't
it's
know like, what it's it
something
is.
Something else. Yeah.
Why is there a saw there? I don't know.
Oh yeah, the chainsaw. Chainsaw was just kind of there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, chainsaw wood chipper. That's
still loved it though. Still love that the chainsaw made an appearance.
Chainsaw made an appearance, which is cool. She
and then you get at the very end where the cold open comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why that woman was possessed, was because she was there in that basement after all that happened.
So
like she didn't experience anything.
Me and Fancy were talking about that, and I wanted to, maybe you can help me clarify it, that so even though they killed it, quote unquote, right, it still was around, right? Because my fiance was saying that maybe it came from the outside and it found her. So maybe it was like a different spirit thing or whatever possessing them. Or was it the same one?
According to the lore, like you get one main thing that's possessing everything or everybody, but it's also like the Deadites can make an army. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also in the recordings, they kind of explain like you can like make these things into little bits and they'll still keep coming after you, which we saw with the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming after her.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they destroyed it. They just destroyed like the vessels.
Right. You know? That's where I thought was like, was
this thing is like open, and even with the Evil Dead series, Ash versus Evil Dead, it kind of explains like, oh, you thought he won, but he didn't. He keeps fucking up, and this thing, like since they released it, just has been trying to find him this entire time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was the same thing they had just fought. It was just like you said, like not possessing anything, and found a new thing to possess.
Yeah. And also playing off that, I think it's like a biblical thing where we aren't one. They like something in the Bible where they thought they're like talking to Satan or whatever, but they're like, we are not one. We are legion. In other words, there's like a bunch of them mm-hmm. at any given time.
Yeah. Cool. But
you only see one structure, whatever.
Okay, cool. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Rate the movie.
I'm going to give Evil Dead Rise 7.8 sexy spooky bones.
Cool. I'll go just a smidge lower. I'll go 6. I did enjoy it. I will say I did enjoy it. I did have fun with it. I'm surprised how much you liked it.
I loved it. Yeah. Yeah. It was just fun, but also because fan service. And I feel like it also kind of tried to do the same thing the original first two movies did, where the stories aren't great either, to be honest, but they're fucking fun to watch once they start going.
Right. Right.
Unlike that Fed Alvarez garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see now why you didn't like it. It makes sense now. Because it was, they were trying to, remake the ones, you know what I mean? They were trying to, like,
reinvent the wheel a little bit.
Yeah, by using a lot of the same, literally, stuff in the movies. So this was like a different take, but still acknowledging the other movies, which is kind of a totally different tone, which is nice. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
Dead by Dawn, Dead by Dawn.
Stay spooky.